listening to Lady Lai, select with respect the best in reggae music on Jamrock Radio, every Sunday, 8 p.m. to 10 p.m. Keeping it blade.
Wow. Hey, Lady Lai, a cargo. The warrior team, sound boy.
We are delighted to plate and chop off your face. Whoa. Fine, this a clash. She no matter skin color, no race. Lady Lai, where the people them want. Some boy say you are going to kill Lai. When the whole world knows, say you can't. She no afraid of sound boy. In a this a war, she are the people them champion. A Lai, you feel star, whether near or far, and send them go Zion. Lady Lai, in a this a war, we no afraid of sound boy. We are the people them champion. Lady Lai, Bill Star, send them go far, send them go Zion. Lady Lai, no sound can kill me, so you kill jump and for free. Cause you are the world most wanted. Jump and son and take her for granted. Now you come a beg and a play. All your friend them a scream for we. Cause she a the world most wanted. All your mother ball out say you stupid. We no fear that sound boy. In a this a war she a the people them champion. Lady Lai Bill Star, whether near or far, and send them go Zion. We no fear that sound boy. In a this a war she a the people them champion. Lady Lai Bill Star, send them go far, send them go Zion. Lady Lai, cry on, cry on, cry on, sound boy. This Lady Lai and get this shy, sound boy. Oh,
yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, that's the sound of Barry Boom, who we've got in the studio. We're in a bit of a, what shall I say it? We're kind of managing pretty quickly because the snow is falling and they've got a lot of things to do. So we're trying to get this interview going as soon as possible. So the interview will be taking place in about, I think, 5 or 6 minutes. And then afterwards, after the interview has finished, then we'll go into our normal show. So this is Barry Boom, who you're listening to, one of Britain's biggest reggae stalwarts. Came out with a Lover's Rock, and that is what he's renowned for, Lover's Rock. So I hope you like the music, and we're going to continue with just Barry Boom for now, yeah?
Oh, yes, as the world keeps turning, yeah.
We criticize each other. Big up to Nikki.
Sometimes it's hard.
Big up Patsy. Big up all the people in the chat room. Big up Angel.
To lose our
big up Anonymous.
Oh, no, no. Spinning around in circles. We've got to stop to start again and relearn to love each other to the very end. As we sing, as we play, as we learn,
as the world keeps turning,
as we work to survive, we try.
As the world keeps turning,
sometimes can't see the reason. And why should it happen this way? With so much beauty in us, we can't throw it away. No, no, we're stronger than you can imagine. The power we're holding within. And if we only come together, we will surely win. As we sing, as we play, as we learn,
as the world keeps turning.
It's now 8:15 and we're going to be interviewing Barry Boom right now. So, Barry Boom, you're in the studio. How are you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, treacherous coming up here in that sleet and snow all the way from London, but we reach here safe and sound. Wonderful to be here with you, ladies.
Oh, that's nice to have you here. Big up Peter Brown all the way from the USA. Daniki from Jamaica, I can see you're logged in. We have Barry Boom, and we're going to go ahead with the interview now. The song that you're hearing now is on his latest album, which is called Everyday Life. And the track is called As the World Keeps Turning. So, Barry, can you please tell our listeners a little bit about your background, how you got into the music business?
Well, we have to go back to sort of 78, 79. It started out primarily when we got serious with the business was with my five brothers in One Blood. We formed the band in 1979. We did a good few singles like House Is Not a Home and Come On Sister, a couple of albums, Ebony Eyes, Romance, Change Man. Yeah, we had a lot of fun back in the early days there. That time it was primarily just live stuff, you know. And I'm being as I'm the baby in the family, know, all the brothers picked the instruments that they wanted to play and said, well, you're going to play rhythm guitar, because I wasn't really the lead vocalist in the band at the time. My eldest brother, Errol, was a primary vocalist who sung songs like All in the Game and Sparkling Your Eyes. And my other brother, Trevor, sang like Out of My Dreams and Show Some Love. And my other brother, Ewan, would sing like Pretty Baby and those kind of things. So I was sort of wasn't the main vocalist at that time, you know.
Okay, so how was it being the youngest member of a group?
Well, it was fine, you know, because you know, you're in a position where you get to watch a lot and learn a lot from seeing what your brothers are doing, because they were in bands before One Blood, and I used to go to their rehearsals when I was quite young, because I started originally the very first recordings we did was with my brother Trevor, my brother Ewan, and we were called the Simians, and we did an album called Dub Conference in London in 1978.
Well, I was looking for that. I couldn't find it anywhere. What?
Yeah, it's difficult to get hold of now, but you can go on YouTube and listen to that stuff, and that was really a dub vocal album.
Okay.
You know? So that was the first experience of me going into the studio. But my other brothers, Errol and Ewan, and Jerry, they were in other bands as well. So I'd go to their rehearsals and see how they structure things and learn a lot of stuff, go to their shows, you know, as a little youth, because I was like 14 at the time, you know.
Yeah.
So, you know, I was like a little sponge picking up as much information as I could, really.
So when did you start to go solo?
Well, my first solo record would be 1984, which was Smile.
Okay, do I have that here?
You don't have the original version of Smile. Isn't on an album.
Okay.
There's another version I did again for Fashion as a bonus track on a Best of a Barry Boom album for Japan. So it's on a different rhythm.
Okay.
But the original version that I did isn't actually on an album.
Okay.
And yeah, as I say, the name Barry Boom was sort of like a name I used to use for dub plates. Way back in the day, because at that time we'd you know, Papa Levi and Smiley Culture and Maxi Priest and Asha Senator and Pato Banton, we used to do a lot of dub plate cutting down at Fashion Studios.
Okay.
They had a dub cutting studio downstairs, and of course my real name is Paul Robinson.
Right, I was going to ask how you got the name Barry Boom.
Well, it didn't really. Paul Robinson didn't sort of have a killer soundboy name.
Okay.
So I used to use lots of different pseudonyms at the time, and Johnny this and Barry that and Stevie this and Boom sort of stuck as a nickname, and somehow Barry just got tagged on at the front. But the specials that I used to do for the sound systems, like I'm a Saxon Soldier and all different ones, I used to do, they became so popular that it seemed as if Barry Boom was a real recording artist.
Okay.
And so I decided in 1984, when I started my label Level Vibes, that I would do my first official record, which was Smile, and that was my first solo record. It was my first solo number one.
Wow, that's quite an achievement.
It was really. Yeah, I was quite proud of that, actually.
Well, so you should be. I understand that. I think you've already kind of preceded my next question, which was about Barry Boom and how you got the name.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to ask you how you inspired to sing, but you've already said it's your brothers that kind of inspired.
Well, it's my brothers, but also the inspiration behind singing is you know, I used to listen to a lot of the old musicals. I used to listen to the Jackson 5. I used to listen to a lot of pop stuff that sort of inspired me as well to want to sing. Because when I was really young, and all the reggae stuff that was out, and Cherry O' Baby and all this stuff, wasn't really my thing. So when I was really young, I wasn't really so much into the reggae. It was all my brothers and my dad.
Okay.
So that sort of evolved as I got a little bit older, my appreciation for reggae music. So I used to listen to a lot more R&B and a lot more pop stuff when I was younger. And as I said, lots of the old musicals, the big Broadway musicals and stuff like that. I loved all that sort of stuff.
Okay, so you know, when you said that when you decided to go solo, did that have anything to do with your brother Errol's death, or was it?
Well, me becoming the main vocalist in One Blood was due to the fact that Errol, the eldest one in the group, he had fibrosis of the lungs, and he was due to have a heart and lung transplant.
Okay.
So his breathing steadily got worse and worse until he was on oxygen all the time. It didn't stop him from performing and doing Top of the Pops and all the different various shows that we did over the years. He did all that sort of stuff, but he couldn't really keep up the singing, so I started to do more of the singing. But as I said, he passed away in 87.
Okay.
So around about 84, 85, is when I started to do more of the vocals. But going solo was really more when he passed away, because it changed the dynamic
of the group,
of the band, because he was really the founder member of the band. So things have sort of changed. And by that time, as I said, you know, things started to change more to doing PAs rather than doing live shows.
Okay.
And of course, we're a live band. So when you take the instruments away, you know, as musicians, you just, it was a bit uncomfortable. That transition as a band was a bit difficult to make. And then with Errol passing, it just sort of petered out. But we still played together, because, you know, the Caution band, which I formed, which Maxi Priest was part of, the Caution band, was an inversion of One Blood. So whereas in One Blood I played rhythm guitar, in the Caution band I would play drums, and Errol, who played lead guitar in One Blood, would play bass in the Caution band, and Ewan, who played bass in One Blood, would play keyboards in the Caution band. And so it was, we still played together, but in a different style, you know.
Okay. I'm going to play another track, Number One Girl, from one of your old albums.
Yeah, that's my debut album.
The
Best of Me album, which you've got, but the actual album was called The Living Boom.
Okay, hold on. I'm going to play that track. The Living Boom.
Pick it up.
So this isn't actually the track I intended to play. That one will be coming up next. Tell us a bit about this track, though, Barry.
Which one?
The one that's playing now.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Yes, I'm not sure.
Well, that's a track. Album, Trust Me, which we recorded down in Jamaica, down at Tuff Gong and at Penthouse, which was a fantastic experience. Recording in Jamaica with Sly and Robbie Lynn and Handel Tucker. On backgrounds on that album, we've got Lieber and Melanie Hibbert, Toots's daughters, 5446. Diane King is doing background vocals on this album, Chevelle Franklin. Yeah, it was a fantastic experience. That particular song, I'm not sure, that was written by my wife and I, my wife Valerie.
Okay.
And it was one of these, what's more, one of the obscure tracks, because you don't really hear that one that much on the radio, so there's a bit more of a fusion kind of thing, showing a bit more jazzy type of vibe, because, you know, I'm quite an eclectic musician, really.
Okay, and tell me something, do you work a lot with your wife, I mean, with making the music, or with your musical career in general?
Yeah, we collaborate a lot. On the latest album, I think she's written on, I think it's about 8 songs on the album we've co-written together. On the Living Boom album, there's probably maybe 4 or 5 on there, and the Trust Me album, there's probably maybe 6 or 7 on there. So,
that's you can work on different levels then. That's really good.
She's a great lyricist. She's not really a musician. She plays keyboards a little bit, that sort of thing. But her skills is in lyrics and melody. So sometimes when you want to, rather than you keep writing stuff yourself, mm-hmm. sometimes it's good to have a collaboration partner.
Yes, of course,
keep things nice and fresh.
Yeah, of course. So I'm going to play the track that I was originally going to play, Number One Girl, which was released in 89, is that right?
Yes, it was released in 89, yes it was. Here we go. Here we go. Here we go. Yeah, this is a Living Boom album, Number One Girl.
It feels so good to be
Yes, that was one of your popular tracks, wasn't it? Can you tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind that track?
Well, let's see. Well, when I did that song, I did Making Love around about the same sort of time, and I had just come back off of a world tour with Maxi and Freddie McGregor and Sly and Robbie. And on that tour, I mean, as you know, I'm a drummer, but mm-hmm. on that tour, when we did that world tour, if Sly's on board, you're not going to be playing drums.
Okay.
So I was doing backing vocals. So it sort of gave me a bit of inspiration by doing the background vocals without the instrument to come back and do some recording as Barry Boom. Because from I did Smile in 1984, I hadn't done another solo Barry Boom song.
Okay.
Because of the success of the stuff we was doing with Maxi, I'd spent a lot of time doing that sort of stuff and nurturing that. So when I came back off tour in 1989, John McGilvery from Fashion Records, he'd always been on at me to record and do something with them.
Okay.
But because I'd already had my own label and I was always doing my own thing, I kept saying no. But when I came back, it was that period where all the Rear Groove stuff was out, all the Rear Groove R&B mm-hmm. stuff was tearing up the place with Mystery, that DJ Mystery and his dances used to finish at like 2-3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay.
And stuff. So I came back having no idea what was going on in England, and that was a song, Number One Girl, people were raving about, and Making Love, they were raving about them. So that's how I came to record them. That Number One Girl was originally a Light of the World song. That was originally that one. So that's how I came to do those two cover version songs.
Okay, and Patsy is saying it's a wicked track, it's a boom track. And Donicky is saying it's a big tune. So big up Donicky, Patsy, and all of those in the chat room, and Peter Brown, of course.
Yeah, big up everybody in the chat room, man.
Okay, so I'm going to play another one of your big tracks, which is Dial My Number. Was a massive, massive track in Aladdin. And it's also one of those tracks that transcends time. And remember that Barry Boom is going to be at the Club Lucy next week for Valentine's, so make sure you put on your red and white gowns and come along. Yeah, that's a wicked track, Barry. Tell us, tell our listeners a bit about that track, because, I mean, that was the one that everybody used to rub against the wall. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that was, you have to redecorate after that show. Definitely. Yeah, well, this goes back to 1992, that song. Originally, this song wasn't written for me. I mean, my wife and I, Valerie, wrote this one as well.
Okay.
It was originally written for Trevor Dixon.
Oh, yeah.
But when we went to the studio to record it, he just couldn't manage the song, you know. We really tried and we really...
You would have thought he would have got it, though, because he's got the same kind of voice, hasn't he?
Well...
A similar kind of...
Well, I don't know. I think they're different styles. But he tried his best to sing the song, but I really like the song. But because I'm a man of principle, mm-hmm. and it was written for him, we gave him the opportunity to sing it. It didn't work, and then when he left the studio, I just went in and voiced the tune and put it out as my next single, okay. and it just touched number one. Wicked tune, wicked, wicked tune.
Yeah, I know you. You ain't joking.
If you want it all. Yeah, so that was a really nice recording. And then we went down to Jamaica to record the rest of the album. So the saxophone and stuff and the mix was done down in Jamaica on that particular track.
Yeah, you're also a producer, Barry. So tell us a little bit about your role as a producer.
What, you mean the role of a producer, what a producer actually does?
Well, your role, how you produced, your role as a producer.
Well, I listen to, you know, producers like Quincy Jones, Narada Michael Walden, people like those kind of producers, you know, the real deal stuff. And I listen to the way they layer their music and the way, you know, the depth and the space and, you know, the colors of their music, the taste of their music. And I try to mimic that in what I'm doing. I mean, a lot of my production skills I learned from a producer called Nick Straker. He used to be part of the Nick Straker band.
Oh, yes,
Nick
I've
Bailey
heard of
him,
yeah, yeah.
And you know, they had a big
hit. To ask yeah. you, Nick Bailey, is that the same one as in Matumbi, or is that a different Nick
no
Bailey?
this is actually a white guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, very, very talented musician. And back in the early days when One Blood used to record at TMC Recording Studios, the engineer there, Andy Garris, was a guitarist in the Nick Straker band. And they liked my vibe, so they got me to co-write four songs with them and do some featured vocals, because they were primarily an instrumental band. But so working with those guys, who were much more experienced and, you know, at that producing and stuff, I learned a lot of how to record vocals and drums and arranging and all that sort of stuff. I learned a lot from those guys, structuring songs and all that sort of thing. And so when I started working in the record shop, that was a bit like being at university as well.
Okay.
Because I started there in 1979 part time when I was at school, so I learned a lot from listening to the music in the shops, and so I thought, you know, well, I think I could do this myself. So I started with the guy I used to work in the record shop, Jesse, and we used to do a little rehearsal upstairs, because One Blood used to rehearse upstairs in the record shop. So me and Jesse used to go up after work before One Blood would start to do a little thing, because I wanted to play drums, but in One Blood I'm playing guitar. So I would play drums and he would do a little bit of bass. And then he said that Maxie is his cousin, is his brother-in-law.
Okay.
And that he could sing, but I didn't know who he was. He was singing on Saxon sound. This was like about early 80s. Sort of 83.
Okay.
And Papa Levi used to come to One Blood rehearsals from probably about 81, 82. And then he started to come to the rehearsals that me and Jesse used to do, along with Errol and Ewan. They started coming to the rehearsals. And then I decided, well, I'm going to do my first production. And my very first production was My God McKing, Papa Levi.
Oh, and that was successful.
Well, that was a big number one record here for about 10 weeks, number
and
one
then
here.
Jamaica, it was six
and,
weeks,
and then it?
It
got licensed to Island Records, and then it became the first British artist to hit the number one spot in Jamaica, and it hasn't happened since. It's the only time, so that's actually in the Guinness Book of Records.
So we might as well big up Barry Boom.
Yeah, so that was my first outing as a producer. But on that same rhythm, Maxie's got Sensi from the album You're Safe, which I produced. That was on the same rhythm.
That's not the same You're Safe. That's not the same You're Safe as Tony Mahoney's You're Safe.
No, this album was called You're Safe, and it featured songs like Should I, In the Springtime.
Oh, okay.
Sensi, Fatty Fatty, Dancing Mood.
Oh, okay.
All those songs which I co-wrote and produced that whole album, because that was 1984. In that album, but you know, I put out most of the singles, but then it got quite successful, and then that's when he got signed to Virgin Records.
Oh,
so
okay.
That was the first album that I produced.
Okay.
And then shortly after that, I produced the Smiley Culture debut album, Tongue in Cheek, for Polydor. And by that time, I'd started producing a lot more of the One Blood stuff, but we never did another album. We only did the first two albums, which was In Love and Super Showcase. And
you make it sound very easy, Barry. So what are the challenges of being a producer, or like producing all that music?
Well, it's a blessing to be able to have the scope to be able to do that. But what it's kind of like, it's like if you have like Steven Spielberg, mm-hmm. and he's a film director. If the producer in the music is the same as a director in making a movie. So the director would have the vision, mm-hmm. and then you have key people who specialize in certain areas to help to realize your dream, your vision of what you see at the end. So he would get the right cameraman, he would get the right sound people, he'd get the right people to get the right wardrobe and all that sort of thing. And you do pretty much the same thing by using the right brass musicians or the right guitarist or the right keyboard player or the right backing vocalist that have, you know, the textures and flavors that you need, the ingredients. It's like, you know, you're going to season up your meat. You use different seasonings for different things to give you different textures and different peppers and, you know. And then as a producer, you sort of got your little bouquet garni, which you just drop in the pot as well, you know.
But that was like, okay, in the 1970s. Like now, though, I mean, when you're not dealing so much with real musicians, you're more of us dealing with the instruments and technology. Do you still produce?
Yeah, of course.
And what is that like, producing in modern times now?
Well, it's pretty much the same. I mean, my latest album, you know, we've tried to keep it as organic as possible. So the only thing that's sort of programmed is that the drums is programmed. But with me being a drummer, we've programmed them to sound as if it's live playing.
Okay.
But there's live guitar in it, the keyboards is live, the brass is live, so they're all real instruments and real musicians playing the stuff on there. And you have to do the same thing, you know, you have to get all your colors and your flavors right, you know, the song, when you write the song, there's a meaning to the song. So it's like you have a script, and then you want, when people listen to that music, it takes them away to somewhere, you know, for that period of time that they listen to it, which is how music used to be back in the day. You know, it would take you away. You know, it would really get you involved. You know, like when you watch a good movie. I mean, I used that analogy the other day. Like when we watched Training Day with Denzel Washington. You really believe he's a nasty piece of work in that. It's so real. It's so intense.
Oh, and so that's it's how, a bit like
so
that,
when you're making your record, you want to deliver your song when you're singing that it's real, and whoever's listening to it really, truly believes what you're saying and believes that you actually that you really experienced that, you really went through that heartache, or, you know, you really went through that pain. You know, and that's what makes it real, and that's what makes your music, you know, stand the test of time, you know, because I don't like to make music that's disposable, that you just, you know, you use it for a couple of weeks and throw it away. It's like a plastic cup. You have a drink and then you throw it in the bin.
Yeah, you know? Your music sounds like it has stood the
like a bit of crystal, you know, a bit of porcelain. You want to keep it.
Okay, Barry. I get your point.
Shelf, you get me.
Yeah, I get you. Now, you've won quite a few awards. You know, can you tell our listeners a bit about some of the awards? Because you're quite prolific.
Yes, we have won a few awards. Best male vocalist, best album, best single. Contribution awards, you know. I mean, it's great to be recognized by your peers and your fans for the work that you do, because, you know, I take it very, very seriously. It's not just something I just do and say, oh, that will do. You know, I really take pride in what I'm doing, because, you know, this is an art form that's been given to us by God, you know, and you have to respect what he has given you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to respect. You can't just say, oh, that will do, oh, they won't notice, that'll be okay. You know, you have to take pride in what you're doing.
Yeah,
you know, and then that's where people really get to appreciate you. And then, you know, and if you're lucky, you do get the accolades, you know. But at the end of the day, it's not really about the accolades, you know what I mean? It's when fans come up to you and say, oh, Barry, that song, you know,
it's wicked.
It's wicked. But when they say, you know, that's changed my life, or it's, you know, it's save my relationship, because you had the words, what you said, you know, those are things that make it
really
real.
Yeah, we were talking,
you know,
about that last week, you know, because sometimes you find people who cannot say the words. You know, you'll find maybe some guys are a bit introvert or a bit shy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so you can put on a record like one of yours and it actually speaks to the person about what they really want to say in their heart. So,
yeah, because often we write about real situations, you know. Mm. On the new album, there's songs that are, you know, that are really real, not just make up, not just a made up story, you know. It's actual real situations, you know what I mean? So people can actually relate to those things in their life, you know, and that's what's important. That's when you get really get involved with the music, rather than just, it's not just a fad thing, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
It will last and will stay.
So I always ask my my guests to do a little acapella, a little, you know, just a couple of bars.
A couple of bars.
Yes, of anything, something nice.
It's a track called Talk to Me.
Okay.
So it goes, the first thing on my mind is your smile. It's not for the moment, it's every single day, it's all the while. Yeah, and every morning when you pass me by, I get the feeling when I catch your eye. You're always looking, never saying a word. Your voice I never heard. Talk to me, say something to me, baby. Won't you talk to me? Let me hear your words. With a woman like you in my life, lady, somehow I know it's gonna be all right. Yeah, yeah. When the rain will fall, I wanna be a shade. So come on and talk to me.
Massive. This is the original on the album.
Whenever I wake up, the first thing on my mind is your smile.
Yeah.
It's not for the moment, it's every single day, it's all the while. Yeah. Every morning when you pass me by, I get the feeling as I catch your eye. You're always looking, never say no word. Your voice I never.
Okay, so we are coming to the end because I'm very conscious that you're going to have to get back to London. So if you'd like, if you've got anything to say to our listeners, that'd be great.
Well, you know, the album is out. There's hard copies available in the shop. It's available to download. You know, just want to thank everybody for supporting me over the years, you know, and buying my music and listening to my music. I want to say to everybody, come down next week to the Club Lucy, you know, to the Red and White Valentine's Ball. You know, it's going to be a fantastic show down there, also featuring a young singer, Marco. He's an excellent new singer on the block from the same camp, same management camp. You know, you're going to have Lady Lloyd, DJ Ranks, Mr. Fix-It, hosted by the Dancehall Pastor and EJ, the DJ in the house.
Boom, boom, boom.
Bro, bro, bro. Oh, you are the Dancehall Master. Okay, okay. Yes, so yeah, just thanks everybody out there. You know, shout out to Mark, to my daughter Layla, Ashley, my grandchildren, all my fans, management, my wife Valerie, everybody. And Carrot Man, the Vegetable Man, Carrot Man. And Miss Lexus, you know, everybody out there, you know, keep listening to Barry Boom's music. What the weather is getting very, very bad, you know, big up to everybody. We got Donkey Willis, everybody out there in the chat room. Donkey Willis?
Oh, yeah. It's Donkey. Get the name right, man.
Yeah, the people are trying to fool me up, you know. Me no like that, you know. They're trying to fool me up, you know.
Yeah, it's Donkey.
I think people need to make joke.
Yeah, Donkey is listening in from Jamaica, and we are peeing into this interview.
Yeah, keep listening. The album's out there. It's called Everyday Life. You know, as I say, we're going to be heading back down to London soon. But, you know, we will be back up, you know, to have a chat with you and have a longer chat. And, you know, we can feature some more tracks from the album. You know, as I say, come down to the show. And the listeners out in Jamaica, you know, we'll be coming out there soon also. We'll be going to be doing some touring, etc. So just thanks, everybody, for listening. Peace and love.
And thank you for coming in, Barry.
It's been my pleasure.
This track is so good. I have to play it back.
Oh, 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 whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah.
Whenever I wake up, the first thing on my mind is your smile. It's not for the moment, it's every single day, it's all the while, yeah. Every month I get the you're always looking, never say a word. Your voice I never heard.
talk to me. Say something to me, baby. Won't you talk to me? Let it with a why. Somehow I know it's gonna be alright. Yeah. When the rain will fall, I wanna be a shade. So come on and talk to me. Just talk to me. I've got no more time to waste.
Yes, and if you want to win two tickets for next week, what was Barry Boom's first song?
Not my first number one.
And your first number
right,
one.
If you get it right, you'll also get a copy of my latest album.
Repeat that again.
Our first Level Vibes label. And if you get that right, not only do you get two tickets, you also get a copy of my latest album.
Wow, that is very, very yes. generous. And you're not just bigging him up and not listening to what he's saying. So, yeah, I'm Rock Radio and we'll sort that out for you.
Somehow I know it's gonna be alright. Yeah, yeah. Wanna be ashamed. So come on, just talk to me. Yeah.